understand that life happens, and sometimes you need a little financial boost. That's why at Seaplant Federal Credit Union, we offer low-rate loans tailored to your needs. Whether it's a car loan, a personal loan, or anything in between, we've got you covered. Learn more at cplant.com or visit any of Seaplant Federal Credit Union's 9 local branches. Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to the program. Number of things to get to on the calendar this morning. So we're going to jump right in and begin down at the Cave and Rock Ferry, where obviously it's been in the news recently because negotiations are underway for the new contract. And every 2 years, you know, this situation tends to raise its ugly head, you might say. Negotiations always go down to the 11th hour before we have a pact signed by both parties, both states and the ferry owner, so the three parties involved. This time is still up in the air. There's a big increase that's wanted by the ferry operator. But in the news this week, in particular, the ferry is running on an abbreviated schedule. Now, this abbreviated schedule has nothing to do with these contracts. This is the week that the pilots, two of the three pilots, take a vacation. And they are down to one pilot and therefore can only operate 8 hours a day. So beginning this morning, the ferry will operate from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. daily. Now, that's all going to be all this week. And the last runs from each side of the river will be from the Kentucky side at 1:50 p.m. and from the Illinois side at 1:40 p.m. Now, that's going to be all this week, and then on Tuesday, June 20th, which is the last day of the contract year, they will be back in operation 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on that normal 16-hour day. So this week, Cave and Rock Ferry, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. operation time. Last runs will be 1:40 p.m. from the Illinois side and 1:50 p.m. from the Kentucky side. And stay tuned also as we monitor the negotiations between Illinois, Kentucky, and the Cave and Rock Ferry owner and see what's going to happen beyond June 30th. July 1 starts a new contract year. So hopefully they will get that hashed out and things will move right along as normal.
Are you hungry for slow-cooked, fall-off-the-bone flavor? Stop by Marion Pit Barbecue, a local legend serving up mouth-watering barbecue for over 40 years. From juicy ribs and chicken to our famous pulled pork, Marion Pit Barbecue offers big portions and even bigger value 7 days a week. On Tuesday and Friday, try our loaded smoked potato. Wednesday and Saturday, hickory smoked ribs. And Thursday and Sunday, barbecue chickens. Marion Pit Barbecue, located on South Main Street in Marion. Come hungry, leave happy. Don't forget the sauce.
In Marion, we have a closure to tell you about. If you're a disc golfer out at Marion Crittenden County Park, half of the disc golf course is closed to play right now because of a maintenance issue with keeping the grounds mowed. Some of you may already be aware, and we talked about this earlier, that the Victory Gardens are not being planted this year. So that whole area there adjacent to the park is not being kept. Typically in the past, it has been taken care of, maintained, mowed by the jail inmates, the work release inmates. And due to some conflicts this year, that is not happening. Therefore, that side of the course, which is around the Victory Garden, hasn't been mowed. And we're working on a plan out there. The park board is working on a plan in conjunction with the city and the county and the tourism department to try to get something solved here in just the next few days. the original plan to the alternative plan, I should say, to keep that mode kind of fell through, and now is caught up with everyone as the grass is about waist high over there now, and there is a plan that is being put into place, so in the next few days that should be taken care of. But for now, that side of the disc golf course is closed. This week in Marion will be one of the biggest events really ever to be held here. We've talked about this several times, but the Legacy of Liberty, the America 250 event coming up this weekend. Just so many things to do for adults, children, you name it, they're going to have it. The event will start actually on Friday night, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. There will be a Gilbert Funeral Home open house as they celebrate that business's 50th anniversary on West Belleville Street in Marion. 4 to 9 p.m., food vendors will be open there along Main Street at various locations. At 6 p.m., the Legacy of Liberty Parade will be held on Main Street. And then at 7:30, there will be American History Trivia. And that will be presented by the Crittenden County Public Library, and it will be held at Foes Hall. 8:30 p.m., there will be s'mores and marshmallow roasting out back at Foes Hall. They'll have some fire pits burning and everything you need to join in on that old-fashioned fun of roasting up some s'mores and enjoying just some fellowship around the fire pits. And there will also be Civil War cannon fire at 8:45 p.m., and then a living history around the campfire. We'll begin at 9 p.m., and again, that's in the rear parking lot there at Foes Hall. There will be some period actors, you might say, that will be delivering a message of their part in the local heritage and history. Then on Saturday, things kick off beginning at 8:30 a.m. with apple pie competition entries accepted at Foes Hall. 9 a.m. Marion Crittenden County Airport will have an exhibit that will be, of course, out at the airport. 9 a.m. also, the sports card show will begin at the Lions Club building out at the fairgrounds. The Liberty Tree dedication ceremony will be held at 9 a.m. at City County Park. Hands-on History with Roy Hensel will be at the Foes Hall Auditorium at 9 a.m. Then Civil War cannon fire again out there at the Mineral Museum right next to Foes Hall. And the list just goes on and on. There's going to be so many things throughout the day. It will track well into the evening, and there will be a final program of the day at 7 p.m. Henry Clay Chautauqua theatrical performance will be at Foes Hall to wrap things up. But just so many things, Civil War and Revolutionary War encampments, pet show, just on and on. Come to town. It'll be all over town. There will be some handbills and some literature where you can find out when your favorite event and program will be held. All of that will also be printed in this week's Crittenden Press, so you can grab that. It'll be out Wednesday afternoon. And get caught up on what's going on and come to Marion. Enjoy the food, the fun, the fellowship, and all these programs that are being put on in the community this weekend, Friday night and Saturday.
Crazy Train Fireworks is ready to help you celebrate America's 250th birthday. With stores in Marion, Morganfield, Providence, Benton, and Paducah, there's a Crazy Train's location close to you. Check out the Liberty Shell, designed especially for America's 250th. As always, there's a huge selection of big booms for adults and smaller fun fireworks to entertain the kids. Check out Crazy Train's Facebook page, or stop by the Marion location on Sturgis Road.
And coming up down in Tulu, don't forget, just around the corner, 4th of July celebration. There will be free kids activities, bouncy houses. There will be wet ones and dry ones. So bring your towel and bring a chair. Bring a chair and a towel. Enjoy the food, the fellowship there. There will be a cornhole tournament, raffles, t-shirts, face painting. There are going to be a number of food vendors on site, including the Jake Hodge Foundation and Coach Shannon Hodge's famous pork chop sandwiches. There will be Livers Farm ice cream and more from them, JT Wings and Things, Poppy's Pizza, Southern Fire and Ice, Henshaw's, Country Cuisine, Western Brew Coffee, Backroad Sodas, and more. And again, fireworks begin at dark, and just it's a great celebration down on the Ohio River. A little town of Tulu grows exponentially in people on this 4th of July event. It'll be jam-packed, so come down and enjoy all the fun. Now we're going to take a break and hear from another one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back and bring you an interview with the new game warden here in the area.
This Livingston County News is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, located at 318 West Main Street, Salem. To talk to a crop advisor or schedule an appointment, call 270-988-3770.
So today I have a special guest that I just happened to bump into down here on the pier at Hubie's on Lake Barkley. It's Dakota Lamb. Dakota is from Livingston County, grew up there between Salem, Burna area, yeah. And used to actually play ball for me, youth league up at Crittenden County. And we had a little blurb in the press not too long ago about him becoming a conservation officer. So today I bumped into him and I thought a great opportunity to do a little podcast. So Dakota Lamb, tell us where you at on your journey to become a game warden. That's the old term for it.
Yeah, that's what we're called now. We're back to being called game wardens.
Oh, again. Are you? Okay.
Yeah, they changed that a couple of years back. So right now I'm in, it's called our phase two of field training. So we go through a 12-week after our academy, which is 34 weeks. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm on phase two, which we go through those three phases. And after that, I'll be out on my own. So what we do now is just like with a officer that's already been out in the field, we just go around with them and kind of shadow them almost.
Yeah.
And learn the ropes. That way when we get out on our own, we kind of know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like today, we're out here patrolling Barkley for safety violations or registration issues, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just the general safety on the lake is mm-hmm. our main concern, especially with the weather getting hot. Usually when the weather gets hot, we get more people drinking and stuff like that.
You're kidding me. Down here on the lake?
Never, right? Never. Like, just the other day, we've had two drowns so far.
Right.
Which we had one in Sugar Bay the other day that we went to. But neither one of those have had drinking on them involved. Usually sometimes there's drinking involved mm-hmm. with them, but these have just kind of been freak accident ones.
Yeah.
But usually drinking with boats, it doesn't go good together. Yeah. So that's our main focus.
Right.
Most of the time when we ask people, like after, they're like, yeah, I've been drinking. Like, mm-hmm. would you drive a vehicle right now? Usually they say no. It's more dangerous on a boat than it is in a vehicle.
Yeah, there are no lines out here, are there?
No, there's no lines, and there's not a break on that.
Yeah, that's true.
So
this is your summertime, or will be your summertime routine. You're brand new. How many weeks have you been on the job?
This is my fifth week.
Fifth week. So you're getting broken in here on the summertime patrol on the lakes, and you have to wear all this garb you've got on, bulletproof vest. It's got to be nice and cool out here on the lake.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
So in the fall and winter now, you'll be back home in the hills and hollows, right?
Yep. I'll be out doing deer checks and duck hunters and stuff like that on the rivers and in the woods. We don't really do too much out on the lakes and stuff. Maybe some fishing compliance checks in crappie season. Mm-hmm. But summertime, this is where we live on the boats.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the conservation officers over the years say this is the part they despise about it.
It gets wild, and it gets wild quick.
Yeah.
Like, if you go out to, like, Smith Bay and Pisgah Bay, because I've been on Kentucky Lake for the last 4 weeks, it gets busy, and it gets busy quick. Uh-huh. You have, like, 40 boats show up at once.
Yeah.
And they're just in and out.
Yeah.
And it can get wild, and it can get wild quick.
So
You graduated from Livingston Central High School. What year did you graduate?
2021.
And then tell us your journey from there.
So I went to Cumberland's, University of the Cumberland's, and I continued to play baseball there because I got the scholarship. And I majored in criminal justice because at the time I was looking and stuff, and you had to have an associate's degree to do this job. As I was going through school, I was like, well, I'll just get my bachelor's. I'll play 4 years of baseball, and I'll go into this. Well, they changed it to only needing a high school diploma, but you had to be 21 years old. So I was like, well, I graduated at 21, so I'll just keep this up. So it was, I applied my last semester of college, got accepted. The 2 days after graduation, I showed up and done the POPS test, which is the physical officer preparedness test. So that's your mile and a half and all those tests. Everybody has to
pass. You knocked that one out of the park, didn't you?
I was fresh out of baseball. I was ready to go with that one. And then after that, we went through about 4 months of a hiring process through interviews and suitability tests. And then we started our 34-week academy in August of last year. And
a lot of people don't understand that you have to go through basically the same thing as a law enforcement officer, plus your fish and wildlife stuff.
So we actually go to the DOCJT, the Department of Criminal Justice Training Center in Richmond.
Yeah.
So for 18 weeks, we're with other officers. And we go through the same thing on top of 16 weeks of our own stuff. So we'll do 6 weeks on the front half of that and then 10 weeks on the back half of that.
And this is a nice career. Good retirement. You know, when I was young, I thought I wanted to be a game warden as well. And then I took a little different path. But I still appreciate you guys and what you do. Well, let me back up one step. Baseball. Tell me a little bit more about your career in baseball in college.
So when I went up there at Cumberland's, I started on the JV team. And I kind of worked my way up to a little bit of varsity. Then that COVID year stuff hit, and we had like 6 year seniors. And we had a bunch of D1 transfers going into my senior year. So I kind of backed off of pursuing it a little more than what I had before. And that's when I really started focusing on this side of it, because I knew this was the end goal here.
Yeah.
So, and it was kind of hard competing with like 20 D1 transfers.
So how old were you when you knew you wanted to be a game warden?
I was 18. 18 is my second year of college. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'd always kind of considered it, but I went in originally for fitness management and stuff like that to be an athletic trainer to stay with sports. But then I was like, I kind of got into the class and I was like, you know, this doesn't really fit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, my backup was this. Yeah. And then as I started looking into it more, I was like, you know, this is the fit for me. Growing up hunting and fishing, especially right there in Livingston County, you got more water than you do anything else.
Yeah.
And it's a major hunting, especially in Livingston and Crittenden.
Yeah. Where we're, now, of course, you're based out of Livingston County, I assume, but it's my understanding from talking to some of the higher ups, the brass in Fish and Wildlife. A few months ago, I talked to him, and I had an article about how many conservation officers we were down in West Kentucky. So you will be also assigned to Crittenden, is that right?
Yes, I'll for sure be running around Crittenden County and along. So we just got out of the academy. The last class we got 4, and my class we got 2. So at the same time right now we got 6 in the same process as me. But before they had 4 for 14 counties.
Yeah.
And now we're up to like 10 for 14.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, but we're still shorthanded because look at all the counties that are left open. You've got McCracken County that's left open, Crittenden, where there's big hunting counties. A lot of people go hunting out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you get on this nice and clean center console and get out here and start patrolling, Dakota. Thank you for your time, buddy.
Thank you.
And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. Don't forget, come out Friday and Saturday for the Legacy of Liberty in Marion, Kentucky.